All right. Hi, everybody. So I just wanted to kind of do a one-off on just the motherly experience of birth. It was fun to have Colin, but obviously my internal mind experience was different, and I just wanted to share. Kind of like I said before, I knew going into it, it was going to be probably the biggest battle that I had physically and mentally fought up until this point. And obviously everybody's birth is different, so I also knew that, how it went for other people was most likely not how it was going to go for me. And that came right away when I found out at 40 weeks that he was getting too big for my body and that they were going to have to induce me for my health and for the baby's health. So I had 5 days leading up to the inducement to wrap my head around how this is all going to work. Weirdly enough, this was actually kind of perfect for my personality because I'm such a type A planner. But like I said, it was weird because me being a planner was almost kind of wishing it was the other way, where my water just broke and I could experience like the scenes in the movies, or like what my other friends had experienced. One of my friends was at a museum, and like it was really exciting, like going in the way to the hospital. So that's just like very spontaneous. And so for my planner personality, it was weird that I was wishing it was the other way. But now in hindsight, like I'm glad it was the way it was, and God knew exactly what he was doing with me because I am such a processor. And so I had, for me, luckily, 5 days to kind of process what I was about to go through. And it was a Friday when I had gotten induced, and it was 8 o'clock at night. So it was kind of a little bit of anxious feelings leading up to 8 o'clock at night. And I knew that I would have to treat this like my collegiate races. And so I like went all out. I braided my hair super tight because I didn't want anything in my face. I wanted it slicked back and easy to lay on a pillow. So I had two Heidi braids, which ended up being the best move that I did, by the way, because my hair is huge and it was totally, I didn't even notice it the whole time. I did my makeup all cool and I was ready to go. Because I had processed it and realized that there was going to be a purpose to this pain, that I wanted to take it on. And so I got induced at 8 o'clock at night, and every 2 hours I was pretty anxious because they were waking me up and giving me this pill to help get things moving along. And then 5 a.m., so from 8 p.m. to 5 a.m., they were waking me up, and then 5 a.m. I had 100% hard contractions that, if you're naturally giving birth, like that's a buildup. For me, it just went from 0 to 100. So that was a lot for my body and my mind to wrap around. And that is why I chose to take the epidural, because I did 5 hours of just natural contractions, and I was already mentally worn out, and my physically I was worn out too, because I was just kind of like anxious all day, and they were waking me up every 2 hours, so I didn't really have a good night's sleep leading up to that. So at 10 a.m. I ended up taking the epidural, which, like I said, did help me. And I will have to say, I was not a yoga person up until my second or third trimester of being pregnant. And I will say that yoga actually really saved me because it taught me how to relax my muscles, and especially down in the pelvic floor area. It's really important, guys, that you learn to relax the pelvic floor, because that really helped open up that area. And also with my mind. So once I got my epidural and I kind of focused on what I had learned in yoga, of just kind of opening up that area, I kept making progress of opening and opening, opening, which was pretty cool. But then it came to what was it? I think it was 6 p.m. and they were like, okay, here it comes, like you're ready to go. And I had this brief pause of like, can I do this? And I'm a pretty tough person, and I've been through a lot of really hard athletic stuff, and I've rarely ever questioned my ability. And so that one pause of like, can I do this, was kind of scary for me for a second, because I don't like questioning myself. I like to believe that I have what it takes to take on whatever is thrown my way. I also felt kind of a lot of pressure from the people around me. Like, they were all watching me, and I'm an introvert, so I'm like, oh God, everyone's staring at my vagina. This is really embarrassing. But I follow this website, and it's called overallmotivation.com. And if you guys haven't checked it out, I highly recommend you checking it out. It's pretty awesome. And I remember this quote, and I'm going to read it to you guys, and then I'll get on with the story. But it says, "We always want to be the best, but sometimes we are let down by circumstances. People who don't give up and fight back are the real winners. They stand tough in every situation, and it's the mindset which plays a key role. Being tough is not an option in this world. It's the only solution we have to survive and thrive." So it was that quote that kind of whipped me back into focus, especially the part where, like, being tough is not an option. It's like the only solution, not just for myself in that situation, but for my baby. Like, it was the only way that that baby was going to come out of me was for me to focus and get real with my situation and not pretend that it didn't exist, and kind of put away my victim mindset of, like, everyone's watching me and everyone's judging me because I got an epidural and blah, blah, blah. So I got focused, which I was proud of myself for, and for a straight hour from 6 to 7:03, I tried different positions, like the squat bar, both my legs up on all fours. For me personally, me laying on my back and then, like, Colin holding one leg and my sister holding the other leg, that was the best position for me, and I could really focus. And a lot of, I don't know what other Lamaze classes are like, but my Lamaze classes weren't that great. And like I said in the last episode, that they taught me how to breathe through contractions, not necessarily through labor. And obviously, like, if you're working with your own doctors and situations, please ask if this is the right way for you guys. But what my doctor had advised me to is, like, when I'm pushing, like, I was doing a yoga breath, I was, like, breathing out through my mouth for as long as possible. The count was, like, 10 seconds. But she was saying, like, focus on relaxing, like in yoga, but you actually want to hold your breath kind of like when you're grunting out a poop. So that was a shock to me. And I wish I would have known that earlier, because I kind of would have been a little bit more prepared. So it's not like you hold your breath like you're about to die, but, like, think about, like, how you poop. You kind of, like, pause your breath for a second, and you focus that breath and energy downward to get that poop out. And it's the same way for a baby. And remember, you're not using your anus to do this, so you don't want to, like, focus on that area, but obviously focus on the other area. But you're pushing that energy down and out through there, and you need to keep your eyes open, because if you shut your eyes, you'll pop blood vessel. So keep your eyes open but relaxed. It's a really interesting balance of staying relaxed and also exerting at the same time. It was very similar to what I would now, like, describe as a race. Like, at the finish, the last 400, like, you're exerting everything you have, but you got to stay relaxed and you got to have good form and be on top of your shit. Because if you don't have good form and you don't have your mind right, and if you're not on top of your shit, people are going to pass you in that race. And same thing with this. Like, I had to be on top of my breathing. I had to make sure my eyes were open, and I had to focus my energy down and out, rather than, like, my exhaustion and, like, what was going on in my mind. The funny part about this whole thing that I didn't share in the last episode was we had the cutest nurses. I absolutely love doctors and nurses, in this area, because I just don't know what I would have done without them. They were so fun. But one of my nurses was like, "Hey, you want to see through the mirror, like, what's going on down there?" And I was like, "Oh no, that's okay. Like, I really would prefer not to, like, see down there, 'cause I don't think down there is pretty at all." And she didn't listen to me and held up this big ass mirror. I definitely saw everything, and it's not a pretty sight. So once again, I admire people who will hang out down there, because, ugh, not for me. Anyway, but I'm glad people do, because we need them, obviously. But anyway, so she showed me that, and I saw my baby's head. So that kind of gave me an ounce of motivation, but I was also grossed out at the same time. So then I kind of just kept focusing on, I was like, okay, there's my baby. Like, he's almost here. And then, you know, I think it was like 50 minutes in, I was starting to get really tired. And, you know, I had my whole family and pretty much around, and I had a bunch of nurses in there, and everybody was shouting and giving me directions and pump up talks and motivation. And it was just all, I kind of, like, clammed up, 'cause I got overwhelmed with everyone telling me what to do. And my doctor popped up, and she, I really love her, and she was like, Alexa, if you do not focus, like, something bad's going to happen. You have to get him out this next push. And that really, like, got me focused, because his umbilical cord is wrapped around his neck, and I had to get him out. And then another quote came to me, one of my favorite ones, and it says, strength does not come from physical capacity. It comes from the indomitable will, from Gandhi. And I just, although I didn't have any physical capacity left, like, there is a mother's will, and, like, I got him out of there. And for those of you that might be a little bit scared to do this or kind of anxious, like, just know that a mother's will is so strong, and you have it. Like, you have it inside of you. It is a powerful thing. So don't doubt yourself. So it was pretty cool. And it was more important for me to focus on being prepared for what was about to happen, and, like, prepared for the purpose that I was in that room for, and not on panic and not on pain. Like, it is going to hurt. Life hurts. Whether I was in that room having a baby or not, it's the same mindset in just life, whether it's getting a new job, getting fired, you know, breaking up from somebody, whatever it is, you're going to feel pain no matter what in life. And so that quote kind of goes with everything. Like, you focus on your purpose, and you focus on being prepared, and to keep moving on, and to keep surviving, because you have to. Another thing I wanted to share too, that I didn't share last time, was helpful things that I had in my room that really made a big difference for me. And then also really helpful stuff that I had immediately when I came home from the hospital that saved my butt too. So in my room, I had a fake candle because I liked the ambiance, at night, especially when I kept waking up every 2 hours. It was just really comforting to have that in there. I had my favorite flowers in there because I love that, white rose smell, and it was just beautiful. Also covering up the smell of the hospital. I had a sound soother with ocean waves to help me kind of get into that relaxed mode. And actually, Duke loves that to this day. We always put him to sleep to that. So it might be a good first thing for your baby to hear. I brought my own robe. Now, I didn't give birth in my own robe. I brought it to hang out and have my contractions in, changed out of it when I was about to have the baby, use their robe, and then after, like, I showered and stuff, I got back in my own robe, which was really nice. It's this long dressy robe with t-shirts, and it zips up in the front, so, like, my ass wasn't hanging out or boobs weren't hanging out. So that's actually really nice, and I highly recommend you doing that. Obviously not for the birthing process, but for other purposes. I've also brought my own blankets and pillows, obviously a set for Colin, a set for me. I brought my own swaddles, which were washed and dressed, baby hats. I brought my own shower shoes because I'm such a freak about other people's showers and bathrooms, and it was so gross, so I'm glad I brought those. I brought my own towel, shampoo and conditioner, and I brought my brush and extra hair ties, toothbrush, toothpaste for Colin too. And I did have, we'll talk about nutrition in a different episode for the pregnant lady and postpartum, but just real quick, for my recovery, I had roasted beets because I obviously was a little loss of blood. I wanted to make sure that I was getting red, iron-rich things in my body. I had some hot bone broth, and I had a lot of burritos waiting for me because I was really hungry after that. So I would recommend, like, whatever is really dense for you that you can have there, or iron rich and, like, lots of protein, make sure you have that. I had a lot of coconut water and regular water. And I also had an abdominal brace ready to go, to help my organs figure out how to get back into place and to help my tummy kind of pick itself back up. And I also was drinking mother's milk that has fennel in it, which helps, your body produce more milk. Then when I came home, I actually had an amazing meal train set up for me by some of my friends. So if you can get that, please take advantage of that, and just tell them what you like so that you get food that you like, because that was so helpful not to cook, especially when Colin, you know, had to go back to work the next day. So it was just easy for me. If you don't want to do that, then obviously, like, I would recommend dense frozen food. One of my friends made an everything bagel casserole, which was my absolute favorite first 1, 2, 3 days of food, because I was so hungry and my body needed that dense, heavy stuff to recover. One thing I will say, and I'll talk about it later regarding nutrition, is that women should not care about eating super healthy or going on a diet right away, because your body has to recover. Now, I'm not saying eat like shit, but it's really important for you to like get dense, heavy things in there, at least for the first couple days, so that your body can recover. And then obviously you can eat healthy, but you need to eat like dense healthy and not diet healthy. And again, we'll talk about that later. I also had adult diapers, which totally came in handy. And on top of that, I had pads with that, witch hazel pads, ice to help ice down there. Again, a lot of mother's milk, tea, a Perry squirt bottle, because when you pee and after you've given birth, it can kind of sting. So you just want to make sure you squirt while you pee. Cotton underpants, because other types of underpants can bother you. Lots of nursing bras. You'll be surprised how much you go through those. Lidocaine spray to help decrease the inflammation of the area, and also Colaze, because you might be constipated. I'm not saying you will be, but you might be. So anyway, I thought that I should also share kind of what maybe you could think about helping too, is the first couple of weeks there was like a lot of bleeding and stuff, but after week 6 it kind of stopped. I am still taking my time getting back into working out, because it takes up to 5 months for the hormone relaxin to leave your body. So women who jump right back into things at 6 weeks, that's really silly. And again, we'll go through that later. My friend and I are coming up with a postpartum workout regimen to help women be smart about working out, not stupid, and creating more issues with their diastasis recti or intra-abdominal pressure. And like, you hear a lot about people peeing their pants after having babies, and that's just not normal. It is the quote unquote norm of our society, because women aren't trained on how to actually retrain their pelvic floor after that. So again, look for that. It's coming. But anyway, so it takes 5 months for that, for it to leave your body relaxing. So just make sure you're taking it easy, like light walks, maybe some relaxing yoga poses, and then also some Kegels when your doctor says it's okay. You got to heal your perineum area. Like, icing up every couple hours is really nice. Some people freeze their pads. I did that. I froze some of those diapers. That really worked. Sitz baths, those were a lifesaver. 20 minutes. I try to do it 20 minutes every day for the first week. I just didn't have time after that, but that actually, I think, really helped. And avoiding long periods of sitting and standing and sleeping on your side really helped heal that whole area. So I hope that helped some people, because some people had some questions after that last episode. But I love you guys. Have a great day.